Derek Bays, we're going right over here. It says, you shall David Hashem lay more. So after that, so David Melech, after Shaul HaMelech was killed, and he knew he was killed and everything like that, and he had destroyed the either Doeg HaDomi or the Ger HaMaleki, whichever one it was. So David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, and again this through the Urim Tum, Ha'ela Ba'achzer Yehuda, should I go up to one of the cities of Yehuda? V'yomer Hashem Elov, Ale, go up, V'yomer David Ano, Ele. Where should I go? As David HaMelech, and Vayomer Chabrona, and he said, Chabron, ach, it's Binyamin. Hold on 1 second. Binyamin, you're like, it wasn't in. Are you listening in? Are you able to listen in? Okay, so I'm going to put you on speaker, but put your phone on mute, okay? Thank you. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We just did the first Pasuk Aleph over here. So he asked, where should I go? Parak Bayis. Chabrona. Parak Bayis, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, so he said to Chabron. Now here's the deal. David HaMelech had a longing for Eretz Yisrael. He really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was worried about Achish, but that was really in the back of his head. Achish does not come up until later on. We're not going to see him for another 4 or 5 prukim. Right? That's when Achish comes up again. Remember, he was the guard of Achish. At some point, he's going to have to say to Achish, by the way, I'm not with you anymore. At some point, he's going to have to say something. But right now, he didn't need to say anything whatsoever. So that's that. Right now, he just wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. But David HaMelech's maila is that he always asks questions, even if he so badly wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, he wouldn't live in Eretz Yisrael until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is what you should do. That's exactly what he did. He waited to go to Eretz Yisrael until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to be able to go. Now, that's number one. Number two, he did not seize the throne. He knew that Ish-bosheth was being made king at this time, that Abner was putting Ish-bosheth in charge. He did not want to seize the throne, nor did he ask, am I now king? That's not what he asked. He said, where should I go? Where am I supposed to go? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go to Chabron. The reason why is because daven to the Avos, that the Avos should be with you, that's there. Chabron over here.
Said Adam?
Adam would be the obvious answer, right? Yeah. Because Adam gave you his 70 years to be able to be by Adam Rishon. That also gave you your ability. There's a vav missing over here. For the first 6 years of David HaMelech's kingdom over here, he resided in Chabron. Pasuk Beis and Gimel. V'yalsham David v'gam shtei nashav achinom ha'israelis v'avigailish is novel ha'kamalit. By the way, I finally have an answer as to why it keeps calling her there. We'll get to it. It's in Miamalez. It's later on. David HaMelech went off with his two wives, Achinom Israelis and Abigail, the wife of Nabal HaKarmel. And we keep asking, why is she called the wife of Nabal HaKarmel? We'll talk about that soon. The Anash of Asherimo, and the men that were with him. Hello, David, Ishu, Beis, Vayishu, Vare, Chabron. He brought them up, each man in their household, meaning their wives, their kids, and they all sat in the cities of Chabron. They did not go into the actual city of Chabron for fear that maybe people would think that he was trying to take over the city. He didn't want to take over the city. He went into the outlying areas in the mountains, but he spread out. He did not make a war, formation. He didn't make an army over there. He made houses all over the place, the way it is, as if nobody had to worry about anything. The men of Judah came and they anointed David HaMelech as a king over all Beis Yehuda. They told David, saying that the people of Yavish Gilad, they were the ones that buried Shaul HaMelech. Now, David HaMelech, out of his humility, that's why the men of Yehuda came and anointed David as a king over Chabron. They saw his humility. David HaMelech did not force himself on anyone. He didn't tell anyone. And they knew that he was already anointed as king. This is Shevet Yehuda. They knew that David HaMelech was anointed as king. When they saw that he was sitting back relaxing, they realized what it was over here.
Did Shmuel tell everybody that he was anointed king?
It's possible that Shmuel didn't, but David HaMelech's family probably went around and said things. Remember, he had seven brothers, right, and his father. Somebody might have said something at some point, we don't know, but that's the idea. So David HaMelech sent messengers over to the people of Yavish Gilad, and he said to them, you should bless to God. The fact that you did this great chesed with your master Shaul, and you buried him. May God do with you a chesed b'emes. And now I'm going to do you a good thing as well for having done this thing. Notice, the first thing that David HaMelech did as king over Chabron is thanked the people of Yavesh Gilad for burying Shaul HaMelech. That was his first order as king, to thank them for taking care of the previous king who was against him and who hated him so much. That's what the first thing that he ended up doing, which is an amazing, amazing idea.
For the end of his life, did he really hate him so much? It doesn't seem like it.
Okay, maybe not in the very, very end, but David HaMelech still had to run away to the police in order to get away from him just in case. Now, take strength, be men of warriors, you know, because your master Shaul HaMelech has died, and now the king of Judah has anointed me as a king over them. I'm not saying over you. If you guys want to accept me as your king, I'll accept you guys as my subjects, but I'm not forced to be a king over you. You can choose to be under me. And that's what he told the people of Yavish Gilead. What do you think, Dave? Too much anivus?
Yeah.
Okay, too much humility. The fact is that David HaMelech was not acting out of pure humility when he's saying this. He's telling them, I'm not yet ready yet. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to become king, there would be no Ish Boshes that's in charge of Shaul HaMelech's kingdom on the other side of the way. He knows it's not yet his time, and he's waiting for the sign. So he's telling them, right now I'm not yet king. However, if anybody comes up against him and starts arguing with him, he will judge them as a Morid B'Malchus, like what he did by Neville HaKarmeli. And by Neville, he didn't finish it off. Now, he has more status. He definitely is somewhat of a king. Now, the Avner Ben Ner, now we're going to the other side. The Avner Ben Ner starts about this in Pesach Chas HaShol, Lo Kach Zish Boshes Ben Shol V'Yaviril Machanayim. Avner Ben Ner, the chief officer, the general, that Shol HaMelech had, took Ish Boshes, the son of Shol, and he brought him over to Machanayim. Now remember, this is going to get confusing. There's Ish Boshes, the son of Shol, and there's Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, the son of Yehonasan. Okay? Mephibosheth was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. Ishbosheth was the king over Klal Yisrael, who really had nothing to do with David HaMelech that we know of, or anything like that. So that's what we have over here. So now, again, Avner made Ishbosheth the king. Why did he make him king? He had support in a pasuk. The pasuk seems to say, by Binyamin, that Melachim Yatsu Mechilatzecha, that kings will be born from your loins. And it seems like it's referring to all the kids in the future, that Binyamin will have kings that are from your loins. Two. So Avner Ben Er darshan that and said, Shaul HaMelech and Ishbosheth. You got to have two kings before David HaMelech becomes king. So he thought that that's the shot in the pasuk, and that's why he ended up putting him in charge. So Avner Ben Er was the one in charge of that. He was king over Gilad, which is Menashe. Ashuri is Asher. Yisrael is right up above. Ephraim and Binyamin v'Yisrael Kulo. And then on the rest of Bnei Yisrael. There's a big machlok is exactly how that works. It could be that it took time. He's king over a province, then another province, and then another province, and kept going further and further and further. Others say that it was that he was king over all of them all at once, but it went by Chashivus. The Chashivus was the Gilad was the most important, and then it went down from one to the other. It could be by strength as well. Also, remember, one thing that the Pesukim do not talk about whatsoever is the Pleshim had just defeated the Jews in a massive battle. You'd think that they would be back. You'd think they would be right back. It could be that at this time, Avner Ben Ner was destroying the Pleshim, but pushing them back and forth. Now, you look at the map. Gilad is the first mention. First, Binyamin had to run to over here, because they had no choice. The Pleshim had taken over the land, and then they pushed them away. They went then to Ephraim, and Jezreel, Asher, Binyamin, they were able to push them down slowly but surely until they were taken over. The whole kingdom and the Pleshim were pushed back further and further back. Yoav and David were taking them out of Yehuda, right? And they were pushing them back, and that's the reason why it starts with Gilad, and then whatever it is, Asher, Yisrael. What was the order again? Gilad, Asher, Yisrael, then Ephraim, then Binyamin. They pushed them down, 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 down until they were fully out of the land. That would make the most sense. That's mine, by the way. That's not from the Amalekites. I'm very happy about that shot. That's that. Ishbosheth, by the way, is the youngest of Shaul's son. He's also known as Ishbaal in Divrei Hayamim, Perek Ches, because he destroyed idolatry, Baal, by the Ish, by the fire. That's what he was. The name means, Ishbosheth means, he was embarrassing the idolatry. So either way, it had to do with the fact that Ishbosheth went up against idolatry and destroyed all of it. That's good. Then our Avayim Shana Ishbosheth ben Shaul b'malcha all Yisrael. He was 40 years old when he became king over Bnei Yisrael, when Ishbosheth became king. 40. Now, think about that for a second. How old was Shaul when he had his youngest son? Just to give you years of how Shaul must, how old he was when he died. How old was he? Ishbosheth, the youngest son of Shaul, was 40 when he became king. Which means that Shaul, you'd assume, if he had a bunch of kids before that, three kids that died at war, would be at least, I mean, you'd assume he had the kids at 20, right? At least 60 years old, possibly older. Possibly he was older. And even though he was 60, almost 70 years old, nonetheless he fought in the battle.
Isn't that amazing? It's just something you don't think about. He became king probably at the age of 65, considering Shaul HaMelech was only king for 2.5 years. It's an amazing thing to think about. Amazing thing. It says, Shaim Shanim Malach Ach Beis Yehuda Hayuach Rei David. For 2 years he was king. We're going to see that that's a big problem because he wasn't king for 2 years. He was king for 7 years. Right?
Chuck Norris is 73 right now.
I'm sorry?
Chuck Norris is 73.
And he's not making any movies.
No, but
so you see.
I don't know if he's
actually, was. David, but the house of Judah was after David HaMelech. They came after David HaMelech, so they weren't with him. David HaMelech was king in Hebron on the house of Judah for 7 years and 6 months. Okay, that's that all together. Now, why 2 years? Well, how do we understand the 2 years? There are three explanations that they say. Number one, he was dependent upon Abner for support. Only for 2 years was his kingdom full, and then it started to crumble. And for 5 years, he had a kingdom, but it was slowly but surely coming apart, and everybody was going toward David HaMelech. And since it was disintegrating, we're not mentioning those years whatsoever. Others say that the only time he was fully king, because it went slowly, up and up and up, the first 5 years didn't really count. Only the last 2 years counted. That's one thing. And then we say no, because he was king for 2 years, and then the following story happened. As we're about to see, something happened after 2 years, but he was king for 5 years after this. Yeah.
Wait, how do we know 7 years? Why are we assuming seven?
Because David HaMelech was king in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. That time must have been when Ish-bosheth was king. Otherwise, he would have been king over all of Klal Yisrael.
No, I'm referring to. I thought this was talking about Shaul.
No, Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth.
Okay.
Yeah, Ish-bosheth.
Is there also something about Shaul being?
We did. We said all the way back when that he was in his second year of reign. That he was like he was a little baby. So Abner ben Ner and the servants of Ish-bosheth ben Shaul, they went from Machanayim to Gibeon. So I'm showing you where it is over here. Check it out. Machanayim is all the way over here, right? Machanayim is all the way over here. It's on the other side of the Dead Sea, all the way up, right? All the way up over here. And then they went to Gibeon, which is right here, right by Kiryas Ya'arim, which is Neveh, Yerushalayim, right around there, Beis El. So they went all the way to Gibeon. So that's where they went.
Machanayim, the same one from Yaakov?
Probably. Because it's on the other side of the Jordan River. But Yoav ben Tsruya ba'avdi David Yotsu va'yitkishum al brechas Gibeon. So Yoav ben Tsruya and the servants of David, they came out. They came out to the same area. Now, I don't think this was on purpose. At least Yoav had not intended this to be on purpose. But it happened to be they were in the same area. They met them al brechas Gibeon yachdov, right by the pools of Gibeon, right in that area. Okay, so they went from Machanayim to Gibeon, right? And then they said they were on either side of the pool. Either side of the pool. There's a lot of question exactly what's going to happen over here. Now, Abner's plan of what he was trying to do over here, what he wanted to do with this, because he was suggesting that maybe, like, let's have a little battle and let's see what ends up happening. He wanted to show that the children of Benjamin were still strong and that they could still defeat others in battle. Okay, that was his idea of what he wanted to do. He wanted to publicize his warrior's might. It was sort of like a wrestling match. Let's see what happens over here. The problem was he didn't realize that it would become so
heated
so quickly. And that was the problem over here. That's what he should have done. As a side note, by the way, Yoav ben Tsruya. Tsruya was the mother of Yoav. Tsruya was the sister of David HaMelech. Why is he known as Yoav ben Tsruya? Who is his father? The answer is that his father was not as chashuv as his mother. And because of that, we never know of Yoav by his father's name. We know Yoav by his mother's name.
How do we know Tsruya is David's sister? It doesn't mention that David.
We mentioned it before. Remember, he had two sisters. It was Tsruya and Abigail.
Are there any other people that we know by their mother's name and not by their father?
Yeah, I'm not going to get it offhand. But yeah, for example, in the Gemara, we have Shmuel bar Marta, right? There are some people that are known that way. In Tanakh, though, I'm sure there is.
I think there's one named Bat Sivya.
Maybe. I don't know. Offhand, no. But I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. But yeah, Yoav was known as that way. Baruch Hashem, there's been a lot of men who have been very good people. You didn't have to name them after the ladies. Remember, Abner Yoav. Abner said to Yoav, Yakumu na'an arim yischaku lufaneinu v'yom Yoav Yakumu. So let the boys get up and let them play in front of us. And Yoav said, sure, let them get up. He Avner had no intention for there to be an actual battle. Neither did Yoav for there to be an actual battle. There was no thing about this. Nonetheless, the blame is put on Avner's shoulders. You shouldn't have started this fight. It's 100% your fault. And that was therefore going to be a problem, a big problem for everybody else. There was a machlokes between Yoav and Avner, and this may have been the idea of the machlokes, where Avner said that we're supposed to be the kings. Yoav said, no, you're not supposed to be kings. Ishbosheth should not be the king right now. It could be they had a real argument between them. Either way.
On what we talked about why Avner thought that Ishbosheth should be king,
yeah,
because of the pasuk. If Avner was wrong in the pasuk, what does it mean? Why is it eight loins as opposed to...
Mechalatzech means from all of your loins, meaning not just the kids that are born now, Binyamin, but all of your kids, you will have kings. So really, from Yosef, from Yehuda, from Binyamin, from all of the kids that have been born, you will have kings coming from them. Avner thought it meant only the kid who's going to be born, referring to Binyamin. But it didn't refer to everybody before him as well. Plus, it says both, Ve'etim of Yavdu, Vayavru, Bimispar, Shneem Asar, Levinyamin, Elish, Kozben, Shol, Shneem Asar, Yavdi, David. They got up and they went, they crossed over in 12. 12 people worked for Binyamin, and Ish, Boshes, Ben Shol, and 12 were Avdi, David. So there were 12 and 12 right over here, so it was almost a football game. You almost wished it was a football game. I don't know how many people play in rugby. Does anybody have any clue? Because it's 12. They were probably playing rugby then. Yeah. That's that. No, it's not 12. Alright, so it's not that. The reason why it was 12 is to represent the 12 tribes. That the winner of this should be the owner of the 12 tribes. That's what it was supposed to be. Yeah, 100% that's what it was supposed to be over here. That's that. By the way, it does say, Ish Boshes Ben Shol. You know, it doesn't say that they were the what's it called? They were, that Ish Boshes was the king. He's never called a king. Each guy grabbed onto the head of their friend. The sword, he put his sword in his companion's side. They fell together. They called that place the Valley of Rocks that was by Givon. And the reason why is because they all fell by the edge of the sword, the tsur that they'd been able to go to, that the rock, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. But that's that. The war on that day was very great. Avner and the men of Yisrael were plagued in front of Avdi David. Now, although all the 12 versus the 12 had died, all 24 men had died, seemingly, right, that all 12 on 12 had been killed, nonetheless, there were so many other men there. So Avner started having to run away, and it was getting very, very bad. Abishai and Asol. There were three sons of Tzruya that were there. Tzruya, obviously, the sister of David HaMelech. There was Yoav, there was Abishai ben Tzruya, and Asoel. Asoel Kalbaraglav, Kacharach Svayim Asher Basad. He was very quick on his feet, like one of the deer in the field. The Medrash tells us that he could catch deer out in the open field. He was able to run over the ears of corn in the field and not break the stalks. You ever seen a basilisk run? What type of a lizard? It's called a basilisk. They run over water. They run so quick, they have the ability to run right over water. So that's what, somehow Asol had that big ability. That was his unique quality. And because of that, he thought, I'll have no problem catching up with Avner. I'll catch up with him very, very easily, grab him, and bring him back. And that's what he did. I don't know, and nobody knows, if Asol ever had an intention to kill Avner. If he literally was trying to kill Avner at all. It could be he was just trying to catch him, but nobody knows, because Asol never said what he wanted to do. By year of Asol, Achrei Avner, below Natal Lechazol, all young, all small, Nachway Avner. Asol chased after Avner. He wouldn't go to the right or to the left from behind Avner. So he felt maybe if he held that Avner was supposed to die, it was because he held that Avner was Morid B'Malkus against David HaMelech. That's if he felt that he's Chai Misa. Otherwise, he was just trying to capture him to stop, you know, all the people of Bnei Yisrael from going against David HaMelech, so that David HaMelech would become king. But that is what he was trying to do.
What does that mean right and left? I don't understand what.
Well, what he basically is going to say is right over here, meaning every time that Avner turned, Asol went right after him. Even though there were other people there that Asol could grab and fight and maybe take away his stuff, he wasn't doing anything else. Although Abishai was distracted and Yoav was distracted, they were going elsewhere, he was going straight for Avner, not looking for anybody else. Avner turned around, and he said, I am. Go to the right, go to the left. Go to take one of the other kids. Take his shirt. But Asol did not want to go the other way. He said, listen, I understand. You'll be embarrassed if you stop chasing me because everybody sees you're chasing after me. They're going to think that you didn't succeed. Go get somebody else and pretend it's mine, and I'll tell everybody that you caught. That's what he told them. He said, Avner, I don't want you to be that way. Now, the halacha is that if there's a roding, a guy chasing after you, possibly to kill you, the halacha is you don't have to give any warning. You're allowed to kill without any warning whatsoever. You can just go up to him. You can say to him, you just say nothing. Just go ahead and kill him. And really, Avner should have done that to us all. That's what he was supposed to do. That's what he should have done. But he didn't. He didn't do that because he was going with Nimishur Zadin. He said, Asol, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do this. Okay? Just stop it. Just stop it. That's that. By Yosef owed Avner. Avner turned again. Lamor Asol, and he did a second warning. Sur lecha me'acharai. Turn away from me. Lama akeka arsa. Why should I kill you to the ground? How am I going to lift up my face to your brother Yoav? What am I going to do? This second warning without a question was not necessary. But in Chav Gimel, by Yimayim Lasur, he refused to turn around Asol. By Akeu Avner ba'achareyach anis al chomesh. So here, Avner, it's a question what exactly he did. Some say that he had actual intention and it was the kavana to kill Asol, and he aimed immediately and put the spear right in the fifth rib. The fifth rib is exactly where your heart is, meaning he killed him right where he's supposed to kill him. The spear went from behind Asol, went all the way through, and he fell there and died on the spot. Anybody who came to the place where Asol fell and died, they just stood there. They were shocked. They were shocked. For Asol, one of the generals, to die, the nephew of David HaMelech, to die, that they were absolutely shocked. They could not believe it. Others say that it wasn't that way, that he had no intention. He did the back of the spear, not the sharp part of the spear, but the back of the spear to push him away, just to push him down. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so that his spear went right into the fifth rib, that it literally cracked his ribs and went straight through, which shouldn't have been. These guys didn't go to war naked. They wore clothing. And the back of a spear should not be able to pierce a person's body. Somehow he was able to go straight through, even though Avner is running the wrong way. He's running forward while thrusting the spear backward. But Asol, maybe out of his great speed, was able to get hit by the spear and maybe just ran into the spear. That's possible, yeah.
Would we think that he wouldn't want to kill him? Like, it sounds like, get away from me, I'm warning you.
Definitely, but we don't know what Asol's intentions are because the psukim don't say it. If he was chasing after him to kill him, then we have a reason because he was Mori B'Malchus. But it could be that he was just chasing after him just to catch him, to grab something from him. So look what it says. Chav Dalet. So although Avner looks really good in this story, right? I didn't mean to do anything. It could be that Avner was entirely at fault. First of all, he had started this thing in the first place. People had already died, right? People had already died, and it was all from Avner's suggestion. Number two, we don't know what Avner was thinking. It seems clear that Avner had some ill will involved over here. By Yerdavu Yoav Avishai Achrei Avner. Yoav and Avishai did not stop. They chased after Avner. Vashamish Ba'oz, the sun set, the Hema Boad, Givas Amma. They came all the way to Givas Amma, Sharpene Giach, Derek Midbar Givon, that was right by the desert of Givon. Over here in the map, right over here, they came, where is it? Death of Asol is right there. And they went all the way out to over here, all the way out to right over there. To the desert of Givon. Vayiskabtu b'nei Binyamin achrei Avner. And the sons of Binyamin gathered behind Avner. There were one big group. And they stood at the top of one hill. Now, Yoav and Avishai were by themselves. But nonetheless, Yoav and Avishai were massive warriors. They were willing to take on all the people there. But here, will the sword be consuming forever? Yoav, what are we doing over here? We all know that it's going to be bitter at the end. Now, this was a bit of an Nevuah. Avner was prophesying about himself that he was going to die an ignominious end, that he was going to die by the sword, and that Yoav was going to die by the sword, and he told them, both of us are going to die by the sword. What's the point? How long will you not tell your people to turn away from their brothers? They're killing Jews, you realize that. How long are you going to allow this to be able to be? As God lives, had you not spoken, then from the morning the people would have parted each man from his brother. If you wouldn't have said anything, Avner, in the beginning, to have us wrestle with one another, nothing would have happened here. It's your fault. You're the one who said that we should do it. It's all your fault. Vayizka Yoav b'shofar, Yoav blew on the shofar, v'yamdu kol ha'am, and they all stood in their place. V'lo yirt v'od acharei shol. Acharei Yisrael. They no longer went after Ben Yisrael. V'lo yosvu od li'ilachem. They would not anymore wage war. V'avner v'anashem hokav ha'aracha kol ha'ilahu. Avner and all of his men, they went v'arava through the wilderness all night long. They were scared out of their minds. They thought that maybe Yoav was trying to trick them and try to get them. So they kept walking all night long. V'yavru az yarden, they crossed the Jordan River, v'yokol kol ha'bisron, and they went over all of the camp, v'yavo machanayim, and they went to Machanayim. They were afraid of the surprise attack. Yoav shav me'acharei Avner. He was worried about Avner. He turned from behind Avner. V'yikvotz kol ha'am, he gathered the people together just in case Avner fought them. V'yipaktu me'avdei David, tisha asar ish v'asol. Out of the Avdei David, 19 men died, as well as Asol. Asol was equal to the 19 men that died. There were 20 men that died in the war altogether from David HaMelech. The Avdei David, Yikum Binyamin, of Anshei Avner. Out of the men of Avner and from Binyamin, they had killed Shlosh Meos V'Shishim Ish Meso. That's 360 men. If you do a little bit of a cheshbon and you do 360 divided by 20, that's almost a 50 to 1 ratio of how much they were able to just kill over there. 50 to 1? No, that doesn't make any sense. Let's figure it out again. 360. Oh, because if you don't count the 12. Don't count the 12. Take out the 12 and the 12, right? Because the 12 and the 12 killed each other in the very, very beginning. So how many people from David HaMelech actually did? It's 7.
Four.
Well, 8, yeah, because of us all. 8, 2, no, more than that, because it was 360 divided by 12, right? 348 altogether. Minus 12, yeah. Minus 12, 348. So 348 to 8 is almost 350 to 7, right? You're basically talking about a 50 to 1 ratio. You're basically talking about something like that. Yeah, from the original one. And then it says the last pasuk, and
no,
it's 100 to 1 and 1,000 to 1. It's also your enemies. These are not considered enemies because they're still Jews. They carried Asol, they buried him in the kever of his father Shebe Yislachem that was by Bethlehem. So they went all night, Yoav and his men, and it was lit up for them, right, in Chevron, meaning the light shone when they got to Chevron. Right at that time they got to daybreak, and that's that. Awesome, guys. That's the Anaparic phase. Yeah.
So we said was nephew?
Asoil. Yeah, his nephew.
So his father already died?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, that's interesting also. It could be that it was the family gravesite, right? But it does seem like his father already died. I don't remember anybody saying anything about that, right?
He was one of, like, when David's parents were killed by the Pleshim.
A good call. His brother-in-law was with him at the same time. Maybe his brother-in-law was killed by them.
Like,
not the Pleshim, by the Moavim. Yeah, that's the ones who killed him. Perry Kimball, guys. With Kimball, come out, Ruka, Ben Beis Shaul, Ben Beis David. So the Milchama was very long between the house of Shaul and between the house of David. David Olech L'Hazdak. So David was getting stronger and stronger. Beis Shaul, Holchim, Medalim. Beis Shaul got weaker and weaker. They kept having, I mean, the longer that it took since Avner, right? Even though Avner, I mean, it was hard because Avner could not pull the people together. The war may have lasted 5 years. Remember, that's what we said up above. By Yivaldu, LeDavid Banim B'Chadron. Now, David HaMelech had children in Chadron. By Yibachoru Amnon, L'Achinom Yisraelis. The oldest was Amnon. We all know that what happened with Amnon, right? Amnon's one that fell in love with Tamar, ended up raping her, and was killed by Avshalom. So Amnon should have been the king of Klal Yisrael, but he never was. That never happened. Mishneu Kilov L'Abigail, Ishes Nevelah Carmeli. The second one was Kilov for Abigail, the wife of Nevelah Carmeli. Now Kilov was also known as Daniel. He was known as Kilov because he was Kulo of. He entirely looked like his father. Why? Because everyone used to make fun of the fact that David married Abigail. The reason why they made fun of him is because they said, oh, he married a married woman. Because she's Abigail, Asha's novel Carmel. It's what everyone called her.
It doesn't seem to help that.
No. Hold on. Calm down, okay? So now here we go. So the reason why he keeps calling, the reason why we call him Kilov is because he looked exactly like his father, so everybody would know this is not Nabal's kid. This is instead, it's Abigail's kid. That's the idea behind it. Now, the reason why he keeps calling it that way is because there's another Abigail Gal, the daughter of Nachash, sister of Tzruya. There's a sister of David Melech known as Abigail. And because of that, we're mentioned, and that this Abigail is different from that Abigail. That's why, since there's two Abigails that are living at the same time, there's Abigail, who is Asher's Nevel at Carmeli, and there's Abigail, the sister of David Melech, and that's the reason why it says it this way, and that's that. Daniel, by the way, is also that God has judged me, said David Melech, in when I took away Abigail from Nevel at Carmeli. That's what it was known as. So that's number two. Also, by the way, Hilov was one of four people who have never sinned, the other three being Amram, Yishai, and Amram, Yishai, and Yaman HaTzadik. Hilov never sinned ever in his lifetime, and Hilov was also named because he was Mechala, his Rebbe's Rebbe. He embarrassed his Rebbe when it came to learning Torah.
So why wasn't he made king? Because
Hilov?
Yeah.
Too brilliant, maybe? Probably because nothing. Well, no, the answer is that nothing, and I'm joking, nothing that Navi told David Melech to make Shlomo Melech king. That's the answer. That Bathsheba was the queen.
Yeah, but this guy had never sinned in his life.
Nope. And that's the reason why he couldn't be king. That very well could be. Kings are supposed to be in the world. And it's very hard to be in the world when you're just a big tzaddik.
Like, he could have sinned if he's that king.
Baruch Hashem!
Basically, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Being king probably would have ruined that.
I would assume so.
The answer that you gave is kind of weird. Like, it's still referring to Ishmael now, but like, I kind of feel like they could have made other distinctions. Like,
Ishmael David, you could have said something like that. I think that's the reason why. We always know where Zabi Gaila is, but I can't really call it that way.
What? You said it's a dig at David.
Yeah.
But it can't be because he took her correctly. Maybe he wanted to take her when she was Asia's Nevel at Carmeli. Right? And Abigail stopped him from doing so. Okay. The third was Avshalom b'Machal. We're going to see Avshalom quite a bit. Bas Talmai, Melech Geshur, the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur, right? That's what it was supposed to be. So here we go. Laravi, Adoniah ben Chagis. The fourth one is Adoniah. We're going to see Adoniah. He's the one that tried to take over the kingdom. After everybody else is dead. The fifth one was Shvatia ben Avital, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi.
I like that name.
Rebbe Yehuda Anasi was the great, 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 great grandson of Shvatia. He was from Shvatia. Yeah.
This was.
The sixth one was Yisro'am of Egla, the wife of David. They were born to David and Hebron. Ashes David, you see that line? Ashes David, the wife of David? What does that mean? What does it mean she was the wife of David? Why the other ones weren't the wife of David? The answer is this was Michal. Michal was the first wife of David HaMelech, and that's why she's specifically known as Ashes David, unlike the other ones. She's known as Egla, not because she looked like a little cow, but rather, he loved her like people used to love calves back then. And I know this sounds strange, but like a person loves their first car, people loved their cows. And that's the idea. That was their, by far, their like number one thing. You owned a cow that was the most precious. So the same way you love your cow, that's what it meant, that he treated her the best out of all his other wives. Plus, she was Malchus. She was absolutely Malchus. Now, there are questions. There is another opinion that says that Egla was once Shaul's wife. It was not Michal. Rather, refers to Ritzvah Basaya, that he married her as well. There's a lot of kashas about Ritzvah Basaya, who exactly was. But regardless, that's that. David Melech also had 400 children that were Yifei Toar. Now, I don't think that's literal, because he only had 18 wives. So I don't think it's literally at 400 kids. But what it means is, although
400 would be an exaggeration word.
No, sort of 300 is the exaggeration word. 300 usually is. 400 is usually a number of tumah. It could be that he brought in 400, children from other nations and raised them as his own kids. It could be that. I don't know. But it doesn't say anything. Pasuk Vav, Vayibi Yosef Mechama Ben Beis Shaul Ben Beis David.
He had 18 wives, but who knows how many concubines.
Can't have any more than that.
No, I thought the
remember?
Were not for one.
No, Abisak Shunamis. He couldn't marry her because even as a concubine, couldn't have anything. It was when the war between the house of Shaul and the house of David, right, was very strong. Abner was very strong in the house of Shaul. I mean, the only reason why Ish-bosheth was able to get anything, he was not a warrior, Ish-bosheth. He did not have strength in that type of stuff, right? But because of Abner, everything was good. Well, Shaul Pilegas. Shaul had a Pilegas. Shmo Ritzpah Basaya. Hey, hey, remember that girl? Ritzpah Basaya. By Yomer Abner, he said to Abner, why were you together with the concubine of my father? Why were you together? Now, he really had a mimanashach. If you hold, Avner, that I'm supposed to be king, that means you hold that my father was also king. Well, if he was king, then you can't be together with the shevet of a king, with the scepter of a king, which means with the concubine of a king. You can't be together.
Even after
the person's dead. That's a halacha. You're not allowed to be together with her. That's absolutely awesome. So I don't get it. How in the world could you be together with Ritzvah Basaya? You hold that I'm a king. You hold that my father's a king. So you can't be together with Ritzvah Basaya. How is that there? That's number one. That's the first thing over there. That's that. But number two, even more so, he's trying to say, wait a second. Why would you have even thought that this is a good idea? What was going on over here that allowed you to think that you should be together with Ritzvah Basaya? Why would he think that that's a good idea? You can't do that without my permission. I'm the king. You have to come to me. He's saying, Abner, you've taken on too much responsibility for yourself. You think you're greater than everybody else. But you can't do that. You cannot do that. Now, it's funny, because Pilegesh Begiva, remember Pilegesh Begiva? Was by Sheva Binyamin. So a Pilegesh ruined them. This was the downfall of Binyamin's reign, that he complained about this. So look what happens over here. He said, by Yekar La'Avner Ma'od, Avner got very angry. I'll give you Ish-bosheth on the words of Ish-bosheth. He doesn't deny it. It seems that it was correct, that he was to go with Ritzvah Basaya, and there is no one that explains why he thought it was a good idea to be together with Ritzvah Basaya. It is very strange, but he doesn't deny it. Vayomer Harosh Kelav Anochi Asher LeYehuda. Do you think I'm the head of the dogs on the side of Yehuda? Hayomes Achesed and Beishol. I have done Chesed with the house of Shol of Yichav, your father. Elachav to his brothers, Omareyu, and to all of his friends. Voim Tisikov Yadavid, and I have not put you into the hands of David. Tipkor Lai Avana Isha Ayom. And now you're mentioning this sin of the woman today. It could be that Adonai realized he had done something wrong, but maybe he was saying you shouldn't to talk to me about it in this manner, in this way. Maybe it was done publicly. Maybe it was done in a way that he was embarrassed about it. But why are you saying that to me? There's a lot of different lines by this, by the way. Am I the head of a dog? Right? Meaning, because Binyamin was known as a wolf. Binyamin's the Ave, right? So therefore he's saying, what am I, the head of a dog? Is that all I am? It's cute, right? Plus it says, Kol Yasa Elokim La'Avner Kol Yusit Lo, may God do this and that to Avner, Kikasher Nishpashem Ludav Kikin Esa. Whatever God swore to David, that will happen to him. David HaMelech will become king. You will take away the kingdom from the house of Shaul. And bring up the keys of David HaMelech from Dun all the way to Beersheba. This is going to happen. It's all going to happen over here. And Nathan and Abi was prophesying about that. And Avner said, I know it's going to happen, okay? I've been pushing it off for a while. Ish-bosheth couldn't answer Avner. He's scared to death of him. He couldn't answer Avner. So Avner couldn't take anymore. He sent messengers instead of him to David HaMelech, saying, let me arit lemor korsa briska yiti. Who does the land belong to? And what that means is, let's make a bris. My hand will be with you. I will bring all of Bnei Yisrael to you. And that's what Avner is promising David HaMelech, an end to the war, a star, written proof that I am on your side. And it says that. Now, there was one thing that Avner had done wrong over here. He said, Yodi imach, my hand is with you. As if to say, you're nothing without me. That you need me to be together with you. That gaiva is going to get him killed. Literally. And that's that. So what changed, guys? I mean, up until now, we held that Shalom was supposed to have two kings. So why all of a sudden he's like, forget it. Don't think that he was just out of anger at Ish-bosheth and he decided that that's what he's going to do and that's that. Rather, it's just the opposite. He only was supposed to have two sons as kings. Didn't say how long. As soon as Ish-bosheth did something which was angryable or something bad for Avner himself, he said, alright, I think it's time for David HaMelech to be in charge. charge. Once he said that, he knew that David was eventually going to be in charge. He was just pushing it off to make two kings. When he saw that it no longer was on his side and that each push was against him, he said, forget it, I'm going over to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech will be put in charge soon enough. And he said, now this is David HaMelech, I want to make a bris with you, but there's one thing that I'm asking from you. You got to bring me my wife, Michal Vashol. Until you bring me Michal, you can't see my face, because I haven't seen my wife. Until now, she was leverage. Avner Ben-Ner kept Michal on the side of Binyamin, said David HaMelech could not have her.
She got remarried too, right?
Sort of. I mean, we're going to talk about what exactly happened. But that, so too, he said, I want Michal to be able to be. Maybe this even was a test of Avner. If you really are on my side, then bring me Michal Bashol and show how I'm connected to the Malchus of Shol. Let's see how that goes over here, and that would be an appropriate type. And again, this is a bit of a kapara, right? He slept with the concubine of the king, so give back the wife of the king.
No.
That's the idea behind it. You don't like it?
No.
That was cute.
No.
I was set over by the Ralbag. So he yelled the Ralbag a little bit later. But he said, David Malach, O Ishbosh has been Shol. David Malach sent messengers to Ishbosh, the son of Shol, Lamor. To know us, Ishi has Michal, Sher, Rasi, Levamea, Orlos, Pleshtun. He sent it to Ishbosh. He didn't want Ishbosh to think that he's going around his back. And he's getting it through Avner. No. So he sent messengers straight to Ishbosh saying, give me my wife, Michal, that I have engaged to 100 Orlos, Pleshtun. He's saying two things over here. Number one, this is my wife. Oh, and Bam is gone. Yeah, but number one, this is going to be my wife. Number two, I assume that this is the mate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for me, and that's that. In other words, that my marriage to Michal is still considered valid. And then he proved that the 100 Orlos was considered a pruta, that was considered something of value that he was giving over, and that's that. There we go. Okay, and you're back. Welcome back, Moalim. Okay. And he sent out a man. Ishbosheth went and sent, and he grabbed her from the man, from Paltiel ben Laish. Now, originally, his name was Palti ben Laish. Over here, he's known as Paltiel ben Laish because he was saved by God. It is not easy to be in the room with a beautiful woman every single day and not sin with her. Palti ben Laish knew that she was originally married to David HaMelech, but he didn't want to touch her. So he put a sword in the middle of the bed and said, anybody who sleeps with this woman will be pierced by the sword. And therefore, he could not be together with her. Now, there are those that say that he was together with her, but it was okay because they didn't realize that she was really David HaMelech's wife. But that cannot be.
That's crazy.
It cannot be.
Was there even a real divorce?
No, there was no divorce whatsoever. Shaul held there was never a kedushin to David HaMelech. The problem was that Michal and David were already sleeping together. So it seems like there was no question there was a marriage of some point. And if they were married, and then she married Palti ben Laish, and then it turns out that it was nothing, first of all, there was no divorce, which means that there was some type of marriage in which she slept around with another guy. So David HaMelech couldn't be together with Michal. Michal would have been usher to him. That's number one. That's the first thing. So that's way not. That can't make any sense whatsoever. Number two, you see over here that she's known as Me'im Ish, Me'im Paltiel ben Laish, from a man, not from her husband, not from who she was living with, from a man, from Paltiel ben Laish. And there's no way that you could say, well, maybe Michal was raped this whole time. And because she was raped, therefore she was mutter to David. There's no way that this was considered a rape whatsoever, because they were never forced to be together with one another. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says, "Vayelchitah Isha." Her man went with her. Okay, again, it doesn't say it as her husband, but even if you want to say that it does mean her husband, it doesn't contradict. He was sad because he was saying this whole time, "Aloch v'vocha," going and crying acharei ad Bakurim, all the way to Bakurim, crying, says the Gemara, tears of joy that he had passed an incredible test, or sad over the fact that he no longer had this Nisayan that he was able to pass. That he had passed it for so long and he got such a mitzvah every single time. He's known as Paltiel. He's known as Isha Yiras Hashem Hisisal. There was no one like him. That's that. So that's that. By Yomer Elav Avner Leich Shuv Vayashov. By the way, also it says Ad Bachurim. Chazal tell us they were like innocent youths who have never tasted sin. So you know that they didn't do anything wrong to them. That's what it means, Bachurim. By Yomer Elav Avner Leich Shuv Vayashov. What's it called? Avner said to him, go back. And he returned back, and that's that. It's funny. We say, Bethi Yisharim Tisalol. In the mouths of the Yisharim Tisalol, we refer to his righteousness. Bethi is an acrostic. It's an acronym for Boaz, Palti, and Yosef. That's what it refers to over there. And that they were Yesharim, and that they were very good at what they did, and that's what we say every Shabbos. So when you say it, this Shabbos, B'fi Yesharim Tzitzalon, think about that. Benjamin, you guys say B'fi, right? Yeah, you do. You guys say B'fi Yesharim Tzitzbarach or something like that. I think you guys do.
Hold on a second here. Yeah. What's the conclusion?
Conclusion of what?
Were they married? Were they not married?
They were married, but it wasn't a valid marriage, so therefore they never touched. There was another opinion that Paltiel Elijah had many wives, and that Michal was just added on to his harem. So that makes it even easier why they didn't touch. But it would be strange if this was the only wife that Paltiel Elijah had and never touched her. That would be a bit of a problem. So the word of Avner was with the elders of Israel, saying, we all know that we have tried many times for David to become king. And now you got to do it. Hashem said to David, saying, I'm going to save B'nai Yisrael. They'll be saved from the hands of all of their enemies. Now is the time. It's time to make David Melech king. Avner did exactly what he said he was going to do.
That's a false statement. They didn't try many times.
Well, it could be that it actually did happen. Maybe it was done quite a bit, and the people said, maybe we should make Avner the king, David Melech the king. And Avner kept saying, no, 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 no. So now Avner's saying, all right, guys, it's your turn. He also spoke to the people in Binyamin. And then he spoke to David HaMelech himself. He said all the good things, it was good in the eyes of the people of Bnei Yisrael, it was good in the eyes of even Binyamin. Literally, everything was good, and everybody understood it's time for David HaMelech to become king. Avner came to David and Chevron, but with him were 20 men. And he made a big feast for all of them. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go, and I'm gathering all of Bnei Yisrael to come to you. The same way we all gathered to anoint Shaul HaMelech, I'm going to anoint all of Klal Yisrael together right now for you. They will make a brit to you. You will become king over whatever you want. He sent him away, and he went in peace. Now remember, guys, whenever you say the word Lech Lishalom, that means the guy's coming back. Whenever you say the word Lech Bishalom, that means he ain't coming back. That's what you say to a dead man, unfortunately. There was a Leviya that was done over here, and Shalom Elam, everything that he said over here, when he said whatever you want, the Chol Shetav and Avshecha, he said make Ishbosheth a governor if you want, make Ishbosheth the governor over the area of Binyamin. That'll be good for Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth will be happy. Allow that to happen, and that's that, and then you won't have to worry about things like that. Pasukav Beis Vinei Avdei David V'Yoav Balmiakdud. The Avdei David when Yoav came from a troop, the Shol Ravi Mam, they had taken a lot of spoils, Heviu, and that's what they brought. The Avner Inenuim David B'Chavron. Avner was no longer with David and Chavron Kishoku because he had sent him away by Yelav Shalom, and he had went away in peace, right? And that's that. But Yoav calls of Asher told Bovi Agidu Yoav Leimor. So Yoav and all of the army that were with him, they came and they told that it was told over to Yoav saying, Bo Avner Ben Neir Lamel V'Yishalchei V'Yelav Shalom. Avner Ben Neir came to the king, right? They made peace with one another, and he went away, and everything's all good. Now, it could be that Yoav's ego was boosted because he had just come back from a successful war. He thought that everything was all good. I don't know. But either way, but Yoav Alamal Vayomer Maasisa. What did you do? He didn't bought Avner Elecha. Didn't Avner just come to you? Lamazeshilasa. Why did you send him away without killing him? But Yelecha Lo, you're just letting him go. Yadatas Avner Benir. You know Avner Benir. He came to seduce you. Veladatas Motoachav is Mova Echa to know where you've gone and what you've done. Veladatas Koshirato is, and he wants to know what you're doing. He's being a spy. Now, it's kind of a ridiculous claim. A general does not act as a spy. If the general came in and he knows he could be caught, it seems very unlikely that the general of the other army is going to come in and try to make peace with you just to find out what's going on. But Yoav went for anything he possibly could. However, David HaMelech also thought it was a trick. David HaMelech wasn't positive as well, so he didn't say a thing. Yoav went out from David without David HaMelech saying a single thing. Sent messengers after Avner without David's permission. And he brought him from Borasira, but David loyal dog. David had no idea. Borasira, awesome. Because of the flask. It's called the pit of the flask. The reason why is because Avner Ben Er is being punished for allowing David HaMelech to steal the flask from Shaul HaMelech. Remember?
I know what you're talking about, but how is that his fault?
He fell asleep. You don't fall asleep when you're protecting the king.
Wasn't that Hashem's doing, though?
I don't care. You are chayiv for falling asleep. You do not let yourself to do that. Meaning,
all right, you up against Hashem. I'd like to see that.
No, meaning it's too perfect. Meaning you cannot get up there and you cannot say, well, God made me fall asleep. No. You fell asleep in front of the king. For that, you're chayiv misa. And that's why I call Borasira. He was responsible for the fact that that happened. He should not have allowed himself to fall asleep. Wake yourself up. Slap yourself in the face. Punch yourself
God
in the face
if you
have
to. You're falling asleep. I don't really.
True. We know that because we know the psukim. Did Avner know that? Or did Avner just fall asleep?
I'm saying, why was this? He should have done.
Stayed up.
No. I'm referring to the fact he couldn't.
Avner himself was the was responsible for what he could have done. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him to sleep, and even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did it, and we know that, Avner didn't. So Borath here was like a sign. First of all, there's no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take away our Bechira completely. So yes, he could have stayed up, but he didn't. And this is what happened. Avner turned back to Chevron. Yoav brought him to the middle of the gate to speak to him privately. He hit him in the fifth rib. Hey, where you hear that before, huh? How's that? He almost and he died for the blood of Asol's brother.
Why would you trust him?
There's five explanations of Basheli. Suddenly, because he didn't know Yoav had called him, Yoav shocked him. Avner was walking down the road, and Yoav came as he was walking down the road and quickly stuck a knife inside Avner. That's number one. Number two, he misled him, showing him as if he wanted to talk to him very privately, and then obviously that happened. Number three, Avner deceived himself. He should have realized what Yoav's intention was. This was dumb of Avner to do. Number four, he said David dropped something. That's Nashal. Dropped something and he forgot to say something to you. I've got to tell it to you again. And number five, it's a really crazy medrash. Yoav said to him, Avner, what's the halacha? If a woman has no hands and she wants to do chalitza, how does she take off the brother-in-law's shoe? So Avner got down on his hands and knees and untied Yoav's shoe with his mouth. And when he did that, Yoav took his sword and stuck it into his fifth rib. Crazy medrash, isn't it? That's one of my favorite medrashim in the world. There was machlokas. Avner said to him, why are you trying to kill me? Yoav said to him, because you killed us all. So I'm the goal Adam. To which Avner said, he was chasing after me, and I have to kill him. Yoav said, the halacha is that if someone's chasing after you, if you could kill him by knocking off some of his legs or something, you have to do that rather than killing him. You should not have killed him. To which Avner said, I couldn't aim. To which Yoav said, then how do you get the fifth rib? How do you get that? That was their machlokas. Avner was wrong, and Yoav apparently was correct. But there are some things over here. Why was Avner chayav misa? Number one, he had killed people in Klal Yisrael by making that stupid civil war. Number two, he was in the position to save Nov Ir HaKohanim and he didn't do so. Number three, he didn't allow reconciliation between Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. Number four, he showed disrespect to David HaMelech. And number five, he supported Ish Boshes and that delayed everything, David HaMelech's ascent to the throne of Bnei Yisrael. That's that.
Does Gol Adam apply if there's no Ari Mikla?
Yes. There are Ari Mikla, by the way, at the time.
This time?
Yeah, 100%. Ari Mikla was still working. 100%. The Medrash says that it was easier to move a wall 9 amos thick than to budge one of Avner's legs. Hear that? Easier to move a wall than one of Avner's legs. Said Avner used to say, if there was a place I could grab onto, I would take hold of the earth and shake it. After Yoav had struck him in the Chomesh, Avner's power remained superhuman. Our sages say that despite being mortally wounded, Avner hoisted Yoav into the air, was about to kill him by thrusting him to the ground, and Yoav, albeit a great warrior in his own right, was helpless, unable to free himself from the grip of the dying Avner. But the people called aloud. They pleaded that once Avner died, only Yoav could fight the Plishtim, and they convinced him to spare Yoav. Even so, when Avner released him, Yoav fell to the ground with such force that his teeth shattered. Pretty crazy, isn't it? That's the line behind it over there. Okay, there we go. David Mel heard about this afterward. I am innocent. And my kingdom, I am not the one chayiv for what happened over here over Avner ben Ner. This was not from me. This was insubordinate on Yoav's part. It should fall on the head of Yoav. I'll call base of him to everybody who was involved in this plot. And from all those those people were involved in the plot from Yoav, there should not be missing a Zav, Mitzora, Maxi, Bapela, Minoko, Bakar, Bakasar, Lecha. There should always be somebody who has Riva, Sarat, somebody that is supported by a crutch, somebody that is killed by the sword, and people that are hungry.
This is his nephew.
These are his Yoav, Ben Tzruya, yeah. His nephew.
First his nephew.
His nephew's family and anybody who was there. Five things that were right over there.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man. It was not his intention to put it upon those who were blameless. It was only on those people that were over there, and it was also conditional. If they acted like Yoav, then they'll get these curses. If they don't act like Yoav, then they won't. By the way, all five of these things happened to David HaMelech's kids who were kings. All five. Who was it? Uzziyahu became a Metzora. Rechavam became a Zav. Asa had to use a crutch. Yoshiyahu fell by the sword. And Yechoniah starved. Okay, that's what it says about all them. The Yoav Avishai Achiv in Pasuk Lamed, Horgul Avner al Sher Hamis Esau, Yoav and Avishai's brother, they killed Avner because he had killed Esau Achim Begibon Bemocham in the middle of the battle itself. Now, it seems that Avishai was involved in the plot, although it doesn't say what Avishai ben Tzruya did. Maybe Avishai took away the warriors of Avner and said, oh, come with me for a second so that Avner and Yoav can discuss strategy on their own. Maybe that's what he did. Then with David, David said to Yoav, I'll call on Israel and to all the people that were with him, Kiru Begecham, tear your clothes, Nechibu Sakim, and wear sackcloth, the Siptu with Avner, and have a hesped in front of Avner. Ba'melech David Holokachorei Amita, the king David HaMelech went after the beer, meaning he didn't even care that he was with the woman. The woman usually go behind the beer. Nonetheless, he didn't care. He was crying, enveloped in mourning, so he didn't even notice. They buried Avner in Chevron. He is buried there, by the way, now. You can see him. It's on the steps on the way up to Maris Machpelah, around the big area. Avner ben Er is buried right there. He lifted up his voice, and he cried by the cover of Avner, and all the people cried with him. They realized that it's clear that he was him from everybody else, that he did not mean to do this, and he did not mean to kill Avner. But according to Melech Avner, the king mourned over Avner. He lamented. How could Avner have died like such a beast? Your hands were not tied. Your legs were not fettered. You fell like someone who falls in front of evil people in a falter. That everybody wept again over him. He couldn't understand how in the world was Yoav able to kill Avner. Avner was so strong. They had to give him food because David refused to eat at this point. Oda Yoma is still day. Normally you only give that to the relatives, but David treated himself as if he was a mourner. May God do this again and again. I will not eat a thing until the sun sets, or anything at all. They all recognized and they thought it was good. Like everything that the king did was very good. The people knew, and all but Esau knew on that day, that it was not within the king to kill Avner, the son of Ner. That wasn't the best thing to be able to do. Okay, there's a lot of things to be able to do. David HaMelech did four things to make sure that nobody thought that he killed Avner. Number one, he cursed Yoav. He followed the bier in the funeral procession. He wept at Avner's tomb, and he swore not to eat that entire day. When they saw that, they agreed. David HaMelech was not involved. You should know that a great man, a tzaddik, fell today in Yisrael, and I can feel the fact that he just died. I am today still soft, and I am just anointed as the king. These people over here, they're harsher than me. In other words, they have more power than me at this moment. May God pay back those who do this evil according to their evil. In the end, he asked Shlomo Melech to kill Yoav ben Tzruya, and that is exactly what happens. Yeah.
We just rattled off, four reasons why Avner was should have been killed, and David called him a tzaddik.
Five things. Nonetheless, none of them were enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get involved. To get killed is different from dying by the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That shouldn't have happened. But that's the answer behind it. It was too much.
You're supposed to die.
That I definitely agree with. But nonetheless, Adam and Eve shouldn't have been killed by Yoav. And that's what you're so sad about. Alright, we're going to stop with this. We're on Perek Dalid. Shkoyach, guys.